You know, God is a good God. You know, when I sing this song, I stand in awe of you. You see the majesty of God. You see the greatness of God. You see that He is beyond your comprehension. He's a God that you can never totally fathom because He's God. You know, I was reading this post. Okay, I was very, very surprised at the greatness of God. I was trying to understand the universe. And this guy was saying that if you can travel in the speed of light, which we all cannot, okay, we have broke through the speed of sound through the aeroplane, then one day the speed train will also break through the speed of sound. One day, they are saying that the speed of train will reach 1,000 km/h soon. Okay, that is breaking the speed of sound. But I'm talking about speed of light. None of us has done that. He said, if you break through the speed of light, okay, and you travel by the speed of light, you can reach the moon in 1 second. Okay, you can reach Mars, the planet Mars, in 3 minutes. You can reach the sun in 10 minutes. But if you want to go to the end of our galaxy, we are the Milky Way. We have one galaxy. It will take you 100,000 years. Then he said, if you want to travel from one galaxy to another galaxy like Andromeda, it will take you 2.5 million years. We all just live at close to 100 years. It will take you 2.5 million years. But he said, if you want to go to the end of the universe, you can never do that. You can never reach the end of the universe. That's why you can never understand God. Because as you try to travel by the speed of light, the universe is always expanding. And the universe is expanding. The speed of the universe expanding is faster than the speed of light. You need something that is faster than the speed of light to enable you to reach the end of the universe. That is God. That is how great, how we stand in awe of God, how we see the wonder and the beauty of God. Okay, I just share, right? Okay, you have a Bible lesson to Exodus chapter 35, verse 4 to 5. Okay, today is Mission Sunday, okay? I have to share and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. Exodus 35, verse 4 to 5. Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. I'm going to read to you. Exodus 35, 4 to 5. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Philippians 4:17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Then 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good works. Okay, I'm going to title my sharing this morning, Giving for a Greater Purpose. Father, anoint this message right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you study these three portions of scriptures that we have just read, Exodus chapter 35, verse 4 to 5 is concerning giving for the tabernacle, giving for the church building. Philippians chapter 4, verse 17 is concerning giving for missions. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 tells us about our attitude, the right attitude of giving, a cheerful giver, cheerful giving. Pastor Lily told me that this year's giving will be twofold, church building and missions. Missions means that we are going to take care of the church planters. We're going to help the churches like Libertad, Miagao, Babasa, whatever it is. We're going to help them, okay? This will be my last sharing in our annual faith pledge. And Pastor Carlos will take over next year. I leave it to him how he's going to raise and what he wants to do concerning the faith pledge. That is his responsibility. But giving should be a faith-filled generosity for God's house and mission. When I say faith-filled generosity, I'm saying you don't give up of abundance. You don't give up of pressure. You are pressurized by your pastor. You don't give up of obligation because it is a ritual and are obligated to give. You don't do that. But you give up of a deep trust in God and the desire to honor Him even when it stretches you. Giving stretches you. Let us try to understand today's message. Number one, it is giving that trusts God as the provider. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Here it simply means, this verse simply means, believing God will supply you, even after you having given away something. God will supply your needs. God will supply not just your need, all your needs, even after giving something away. I think since 1992, we started Mission Faith Pledge because we wanted to plant churches. And I'm so excited, I'm so happy that all the churches that we have planted through the giving of you for 26 years, the churches are still existing. I was telling you that I was in Libertad, I was in Antique, and I met up with all the pastors. Okay, some of them are still are no more with us, but some of them are with us. Okay, but I see that you're giving. Okay, your giving has not only caused the pastor to grow in terms of maturity, and the pastors have their own children, they have also grown up, and they are helping the pastor, their own father to pastor the church. I also seen that they are happily doing the work of God, and they have never given up their churches. They have never given up their churches. Pastor Lily and I believe many of you, have pledged for 33 years, in our annual Mission Faith Pledge. And we have always fully paid. I will say that our faith pledge has never been little, especially in those years when we have a salary. And it was always above and beyond our monthly tithe. We continue to pay tithe every month, and we never once say that I will pay my tithe lesser this month because I'm giving faith pledge. We have never done that. It has always been a faith. It has always been a faith-filled generosity in our on our part toward God. Is it because we are rich? No. Does it cost us? Yes. To tell you frankly, it was very sacrificial. But I will tell you that this faith-giving, believing that God will provide and sustain us, is real. Which He has done all these 33 years. 33 years. Does it cost us? Yes, it costs us a lot. To be honest, it costs us a lot. You are not giving because you have extra. You give even when it costs you something, trusting that God will provide what you need after you give. But the benefits and the returns which I'll share to you are more than 100-fold beyond your understanding. And the most beautiful part is that you get to see and witness the miracles of God in your life. So I just want to challenge you. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your needs. He shall supply all your needs. Always hold true. Look at the widow of Zarephath. She had a son. Her precious only son. She had no husband. There was a famine. She only had a handful of flour and a little oil left. Her last resources. Yet in faith, she knew that Elijah was a servant of God. That's the thing. She knew that this person is that asked her for the flour and the oil is a servant of God. It was like God asking her for the thing, the flour and the oil. So she gave because of God. What happened? She gave the flour, she gave the oil. Every morning, I want you to picture, every morning, she will go to the vase. And she will look into it and will see that it still contained a little flour. A handful of flour there. Then she went on to investigate the jar of oil. And she realized that there is still a little oil left in the jar. This happened for 3.5 years. Every day for 3.5 years. She will see the flour, the handful of flour. It was not that the vase was filled with flour, but here's a handful. God never meet your greeds. God meet your needs. She see the flour, she see the oil. For 3.5 years, until the famine ended. I mean, Pastor Lily will go shopping every end of the month or the beginning of the month. Okay, we have to stock up our flour, we have to stock up our oil. And our flour and our oil at the end of the month will always be depleted. If we take into calculation 3.5 years, there will be 42 months of a handful of flour and a jar of oil. The whole vase cannot contain even more than 1 month of flour. And the whole oil cannot even contain 1 month of oil. That is 42 months of flour and 42 months of the jar of oil. You think of the tremendous miracles. You think of the tremendous miracle. You know, you love God. That's one thing about giving. You love God because you begin to see wonders. You begin to see miracles. You begin to see signs of God in your life. What did the woman of Zarephath do? Why she do it? Because she loved God. That's all. She loved God. She didn't look at Elijah. You don't look at me and Pastor Lily. She just look at God. She see that this is a servant of God, and this servant of God speak the word, and the word comes from God. Because she could put God first. Because she has a faith-filled generosity. You say, Pastor, such miracles doesn't take place anymore. Like the Baptist said, the days of miracles are over. They are so wrong. If you read about today's contemporary example, the best is Corinne Ten Boom. She was in the Nazi concentration camp. She was there during the Second World War. You know, during the Second World War, her David Thurman bottle of medicinal oil never seems to run dry. Even with the frequent use of herself, her own sister Betsy, and the ailing women. Never seems to run dry. That was seen as a miracle which Betsy attributed it to God's provision and love. A similar experience occurred also in the concentration camp where they smuggled in a bottle of vitamins. A bottle of vitamins was smuggled in. But it appeared to have never-ending supply. The vitamin never runs out. These two events highlighted in our daily affair, God's provision and care for our needs during our times of difficulties. Giving is exciting because you will witness the miracles of God. I personally experienced miracles of God because of faith-filled generosity. This faith-filled generosity is anchored in the future. When you give, it is anchored in the future. It's anchored in the future. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. You not only have sufficiency in all things, you may abound to every good work. When we gave in these 33 years, God is thinking of our future, Pastor Lily's future and my future. God took care of our future. What is future? Your future. What is future? Future is time that will be or come after the present. Future is something that will exist or happen in the time to come. That is future. Things that will exist in the time to come. Your giving is anchored into the future. We are going back. I give you an example. We are going back to Singapore, 2026. We are already making plans. Pastor Lily has started selling some things, okay? Some furniture, some utensil, whatever it is. Pastor Lily like to enroll in a Bible school, which Jen said she will sponsor. I don't know whether Jen will really sponsor when she find out how much is it. Besides all this, she wants to take a course on counseling. Besides all this, Pastor Lily, like every woman here, I speak to your woman. I speak to you right now. And I pray that you will follow the example. Every woman here, you long for a nice house to stay in. Yeah. Pastor Lin and I, we must renovate the house. We do not have savings. We do not have savings, like maybe most of you don't have savings. But we need to renovate the house. Because it has been occupied by tenants for so many years and it's not clean anymore. I remember one time I went back, I tell you, I took the whole 2-3 days to clean up the whole house. And it costs a lot to renovate. The minimum cost is 4 million peso. Which we do not have the money, to be very honest. We were cracking our head on how to come up with that 4 million peso. Borrow for my two kids and tell them that we will pay them in 3 years time. Then I was also wondering, what will my sons-in-law think of two of us? Get a loan. While we were thinking over this, God sees the future. God sees our concern. Okay, I want to tell you that if you give sacrificially, God will see your future. I just want to tell you that. You believe me? Just last week, I was telling Pastor Lily that the money we needed for renovation is almost there. Please understand, we do not get a single cent from this church. Okay, we don't. For our renovation. It's just that God sees the future. You see, God sees the future. And get ready the fund for us to renovate. When I told Pastor Lily, the fund has grown, she was shocked. She was literally shocked. This fund was transferred to her. The last leftover of Pastor Lily's sisters. Last inheritance, the little inheritance that was transferred to her. At the beginning of this year, when we went back, she told her nephew, please transfer this fund that my sister managed for me. But God multiplied that small fund. And the multiplication was so manifold. God sees the future. I see Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 so true. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in heaven. You are not giving based on what is in your wallet. You give based on what you believe God can do through it. That is faith. That's the exciting nature of faith. Also, it's not based on the size of the gift. It's based on the size of your faith. Faith fills generosity. Says, I give not because I can afford it. For the church building, for the mission. But in the God who provides. It's a way of worship, do you know that? You don't look at your two pastors. You give for God. Like the woman of Zarephath. It's a way of worship. When the house of God needs help, which is a heartbeat of God, or missions, and you don't do anything, you cannot really say you love God. Really, you cannot say that you love God. James says, show me your faith by your works. Today God says, show me your faith by your giving. Let me tell you something about my life. Pastor Lily and I has been giving for 33 years for Mission Faith Pledge. I noticed something very interesting in our giving. God always meets our needs, but He never meets our greed. He has never met our greed. Never. I've never driven a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz in my entire life. We don't have a condominium. Joy is going to move to a condominium. He has never met our greed, but He always meets our need. I mean, it's a woman's desire. Woman, ladies here, you want your house. Ladies here, listen to me. It's a simple woman's wish. God sees, and God answers it. When Joy wanted to go to university, you can borrow the money from my pension fund, but you have to pay it back. And Joy took the money from my pension fund, and Joy graduated, and Joy paid back that money into our pension fund. That's the difference between your country and our country. You took money from a pension fund, you may never pay back. You have to pay back. The government said you have to pay back. Then we have no more money to sponsor Jen. We have no more money. We didn't even understand the enormity of the situation at that time. We have lost our job at that time. We lost our job, and God is like, God blocked our eyes. We couldn't see and make us, we couldn't worry at that time. Just tell you frankly, we didn't even worry at that time. We have no money for Jen's education. God sees the future. God saw the future. He allowed Jen to get a scholarship in France, even though her grade was not perfect. And the government of Singapore sponsored her $500,000 for a 4-year course, which is 20 million peso for that 4-year course. Just think about the 20 million and our giving every year for 33 years. You look at the difference. Her lodging, her tuition fee, her food, her computer, everything was paid for. Everything was paid for. And she graduated. FA. I tell you something, we will not be able to go. We will not be able to help her at all. And I think she will be very, very angry, Pastor Lily and I. When we sold our first house to build this sanctuary, God sees the future. He makes sure that we can finish paying for the second house, which I told you. Even my daughter was shocked when we told her that we are finishing. I told Pastor Lily, you don't have to worry. By the time we reach Singapore, it's just a little bit more. A little bit more. Our work within just that 1 year, everything will finish paying. God is a tremendous, amazing, wonder-working God. That's why I'm all in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. We love our Apu. We also want to go for a holiday. We want to go for holiday chiefly because we want to meet with our Apu. Okay? That is a desire. That is not greed. You want to go for holiday? That's a desire. But my two children, I tell you, you know, they stay in those hotels and you cannot believe. I'm telling you, we cannot catch up with them at all. We cannot, we really cannot catch up with them. But we wanted to see our Apu. Can you please sponsor our trip? No. Whether it was the trip to Taiwan or the trip to Bangkok. Of course, Joy will initiate and pay for some days of the hotel in Taiwan. But we do pay for Joy and Ben for their hotel stay in Bangkok. Do you know that? We pay for their stay in Bangkok. God saw our desire for a holiday. You know, God is not a very unreasonable God. Okay, God is not an unreasonable. He can see your desire. And if it is not greed, He will grant it to you. God saw the future and sponsored our trip to Taiwan and Bangkok. We are not in debt because of holidays. And God knows, and He approved, and He approves. I notice a truth in God's supply. I say again, He will never meet your greed, but He always meet a need and even a desire. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall grant you the desires of a heart. Am I correct? Delight yourself. How do you delight yourself? By loving God. By loving what He loves, by loving the church, by loving mission. Today, standing before you, I can tell you that Pastor Lee and I, we are not in debt. We don't have to worry. You know, there was a pastor, okay, one of our contemporary. He borrowed so much from his brother, and I don't know how did he manage to pay back? But we too did not get into debt. When we have credit cards, our credit card is always paid on time. We never say, let's pay for next month. I tell you, you are so wrong. You are getting into yourself in big trouble. That it is a 48% interest rate when you did not pay your credit card on time. God sees the future. And God sees it when you exercise your faith-filled generosity. Number two, it is a giving that God invites us to participate in. Exodus 35, 4-5. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering. God did not force upon anyone to give. He only gave an invitation. The tabernacle, God's dwelling, was to be built by free will offering. The same principles apply today, whether it is for church building or for missions. We are invited to be part of God's holy work. This building is not just bricks and walls. It is a place of salvation, a place of worship, a place of healing, a place of outreach. I mean, it is a place where souls can be saved. Nothing is more precious than the soul. The Bible says, what does it profit you? You gain the whole world, but you lose your soul. That's how precious a soul is. And the church is a place where souls are saved. It's a place where you get this courage, you come near, you get refreshed, you get strengthened, you go and face the week that is ahead of you. It's a place that God can heal you physically. But most important of all, it is God's dwelling. You are declaring when you give, when you put your God first, God is worthy of my best, worthy of my giving. You partner in God's kingdom. Giving isn't just financial. It is a spiritual partnership. You know, when you give, it is a partnership. A partnership not just on other people's life, a partnership on your own life, and a partnership between you and God, between your life and God, between your family and God, between your personal health and God. It is a spiritual partnership. Every walls that is built, every chairs that is placed, you have a share in it. You listen to the next statement. You create a legacy that outlives you. You create a legacy that outlives you. Psalms 145 verse 4 says this: one generation shall commend your works to another. The next generation shall commend this generation's work. That's the meaning. Giving to build God's house, leave behind something eternal. I don't know when is Jesus coming back. Maybe 40 years from now, I don't know. But Isaac Newton, a very famous mathematician, according to his calculation, he not said definitely, but based on his calculation, according to the biblical text, he said that in the year 2060, there will be a very significant event that will take place. He said that. I mean, he's a brilliant, brilliant mathematician. He is equivalent to people like Einstein. But based on his understanding of the biblical timeline, he says 2060 will be something that will take place that is very significant for church history. But still we do not know. Still we do not know. The church got to carry on. The building got to carry on. Who will ask? Who built the structure of this century? The next generation will ask, who built the structure of this century? Who built the children's playground? Who built the study hub? And if one of you built the frontage, someone will ask, who built the frontage? Who will build the multi-purpose hall? Who will build the basketball court? Who will build and enhance the beautiful garden? You know, I make an observation. I love to go to the province. I love to watch Paddy Field. But when I pass by, especially when I was in Kolase, I'll see this high school near the municipality, and I'll see the walls of the school inscribed on the walls. I see names inscribed on the walls. Oh, this wall is sponsored by this family. I think the Alagos family's name was also there. Oh, this block is contributed by this family. This school block, how about this church? And you think God will only inscribe your name on this church? No. He remembers. And God has very, very, very good memory. He will give you a reward, not only on earth, but in heaven, far surpassing anything you have contributed to the church. I give you an example. Do you know why at the end of the tribulation, why Egypt, God will never totally destroy Egypt, even all the other nations of the world will be destroyed in the Middle East, because they all went against Israel. Egypt went against Israel, but God will never totally destroy Egypt. You go and study the Bible properly. Because God remembered Egypt, that housed the nation of Israel for 400 years. I read to you Deuteronomy 26:5. My father was a wandering Aramean. That's why they asked, actually Jacob is a Syrian. And he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. Yes, God punished Egypt because she went against Israel. But it was in Egypt that Israel became a nation of at least 2 million people. So God, remember, God said, you took care of Israel. Even though you are quite cruel to them, you still... They grew as a nation because of you, Israel. So I will not destroy you. Look at Pastor Lily's sister. She's not a very nice lady. And she is very anti-God. She was a devout Buddhist Taoist. But God still saved her. God still saved her. Because it was through her that we can have this sanctuary to worship today. So if you really give out a sacrifice for this church building or some building project, and you are a child of God compared to Egypt, compared to Pastor Lily's sister, how much more God will bless you, a child of God. God will say to you, we have participated in this church building work. I can only tell you this one thing from my experience of 33 years in my annual faith pledge giving. The returns are exponential, enabling you to experience the supernatural. Now, one of the beautiful things is that you experience the supernatural hands of God multiple times, not only now, but in the future of your life. And today, God invites you to participate in this giving, not pressurized, don't be pressurized, but willingly knowing that you can never outgive God. Number three, it is from a willing heart. It is a giving from a willing heart that God delights. Everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering. This morning, as I say, God is not asking for false giving. God is looking for willing hearts. God sees not just the gift, but the motive. You know, the phrase, whose heart moved them, means the heart was stirred. Giving becomes worship when it comes from a stirred heart. God is looking for a stirred heart. It means God desires giving that comes from a deep inner conviction, love and willingness, not from pressure, not from routine, not from guilt, but for love. The same for Israel. Moses did not force the children of Israel to give. A stirred heart moved them, and they said yes. You know, I really respect the Jews. Okay, I want to tell you, there's one group of people that you must really bless, and don't hate them, and don't go against them, is the Jews. I respect them, no matter how rebellious the Jews are, okay? I want to tell you, you can never fault them when it comes to giving, especially the church building. I want to tell you, the third temple, the new temple that is coming up, the money is all available, ready. Just waiting for the time that they can build. There were two powerful moments when the people of God gave so generously that the leader have to tell them, stop giving, it is more than enough. One was for the tabernacle, Exodus 36:5 say, the people are bringing more than enough to doing the work of God. The work the Lord commanded to be done, building the tabernacle. Two, when Joash put a chest outside the temple, when people gave gladly, continually, and the money was enough, not only for repair, not only to buy material, but to pay the worker. They had more than enough. Today he asked, why the Jews are so rich, so intelligent? They are the richest people in this world. They are the most intelligent people in this world. Prime Minister, my Prime Minister wants to make a remark about them, especially the rabbis. Okay, my Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew has no nonsense for people. You don't be nonsensical, and he has no time for nonsensical people. He is very attracted to very intelligent people. Let's be very honest. He spotted intelligent and capable people, and he was discussing meritocracy on his book memoir, Third World to First World. He said this about the Jew. He said this: the Jews are a remarkable people. Despite their small numbers, they have produced many Nobel laureates. Their rabbis are extraordinarily smart. The ability to retain knowledge and keep their culture alive for thousands of years is impressive. Why? You cannot fault the Jews when it comes to giving to God. You can never fault them. I ask you, does this has to do with the giving of a willing heart to God, to God's building? And missions? I think so. Because missions is the heartbeat of God. And God's building is His sanctuary. God's church is His dwelling place. Number four. God multiplies what we sow. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I want to tell you that giving is painful, okay? So, you cannot say, Pastor, you say this, but your life, then how come it didn't happen to my life? I just want to tell you something. It was painful. It was sacrificial when it comes to our giving, okay? It was not easy. Giving to God's kingdom is not a loss. It is sowing. I say again, giving to God's kingdom is not a loss. It's sowing. God promises grace, provision and fruitfulness to cheerful giver. He does not give you back what you gave. No, He doesn't give you back what you give. He multiplies it in the kingdom impact and spiritual return. Every dollar given help reach souls. You may never go to the mission field, but your giving send others. I'll read another verse that's very important. Please take note, I'm finishing soon. Then they are eternal investment. Philippians chapter 4 verse 17 says this. Not that I desire or give your gifts. What I desire is that more can may be credited to your account. More be credited to your account is a heavenly accounting language. Paul is picturing a ledger. God is noting their giving and their reward is credited to them like investment, interest on a growing investment. When you give to church and you give to build missions, it is recorded in that ledger that you are laying up treasures not only on earth, but you are laying up treasures in heaven. Every soul saved is every life changed. You are a partner in the harvest. Okay, I'm going to give you a story, but I will end here. There's this classic, skillfully written short story by Henry Van Dyke, entitled The Mansion. It was written in 1910, during a time there was great revival, about a successful New York banker. Okay, his name is John Whitman, not McLean. That is McLean. John Whitman, lived in a very beautiful, opulent mansions on earth with his wife and two daughters. His sons did not stay with them. And he's characterized as a very self-made man. No reproach of his life. He followed the rules, vocations, society, and religion. He followed the rules. And as the story unfolds, Whitman's generosity is but a calculated and self-serving giving. Always with a personal investment in furthering his rank, furthering his status, furthering his reputation. One day, he went to his study room and his son wrote something, a book about him. He read it and he exposed the character of his father. He was so troubled. He started to feel faint. And he started to experience a sense of him passing away. He died. On the way, he was joined by some traveler. He started to realize, oh, I'm in this dreamlike place, surreal state. I'm going to the celestial city. And there were travelers that joined him and they were all going to this celestial city. And they were heading there to receive the mansion that was given, that was prepared for them. A guide known as the keeper of the gate led one by one, each one to a different size but with distinct charm and beauty. After walking for miles, there were only two left: John Whitman and an old friend of his, Dr. McLean. That guy, Dr. McLean, was an unassuming country doctor who lived in his country in his humble sacrificial service for other people. The next moment, just two of them left with the gatekeeper. The next moment, they were standing in front of one of the largest and fairest of the houses. Garden glowed softly with radiant flower. The guide laid his hand upon the shoulder of the doctor's shoulder, the hand upon the doctor's shoulder, and said, "This is for you. Go in. There is no more pain here. There is no more death, nor sorrow, nor threat, nor tears. For your old enemies are all conquered. But all the good that you have done for others, all the help that you have given, all the comfort they have brought, all the strength and love that you have bestowed upon the suffering are here. For we have built them all into this mansion for you. All that you have done, you have built them all in this mansion for you." Overjoyed, Dr. McLean wished his friend well and entered the reward. Only two of them left: the guide, the gatekeeper, and Dr. John Whitman. With great solemnity, the guide continued to lead Dr. Whitman to his reward. It seems they have walked miles and miles through vast cities, passing streets and streets. This is a book you're going to read. Passing streets and streets of houses, larger and smaller, of garden richer or poorer, but all full of beauty and delight. But they walked so long, they came to a kind of suburb where there were small cottages with plots of flower, very lowly but bright and fragrant. Finally, they reached an open field, barely bad and lonely looking. There were two or three bushes around it. Without flowers, the grass was sparse and thin. In the center of the big field was this tiny little hut, hardly big enough for a shepherd's shelter. It looks, this tiny hut looks as if it was built of discarded things, scraps, fragments of other building, put together with care by someone who had tried to make the most of this cast off material. There was something pitiful and shamefaced about the hut. It shrank and drooped and faded in this barren field, which seems to cling on only by sufferance to the end of the splendid city. The keeper of the gate say, "This is your mansion." Dr. Whitman was shocked, an intolerable shock, a grief, wonders, and indignation choked that he couldn't even talk. Then he turned away his face from this little hut and began to remonstrate early, eagerly with his companion. "Surely, sir, you must be in error about this. There's something wrong. Some other John Whitman." A confusion of faces, names. "The book must be mistaken." The gatekeeper say, "There's no mistake," said the keeper again, very calmly. "Here is your name, the record of your title, your possession in this place." "But how could a house so small be prepared for me?" He was so resentful. "After my long and faithful service on earth, is this suitable mansion for me, so well known and devoted a person? Why is it so pitifully small and mean? Why have you not built a larger house like the others?" The keeper of the gate replied, "That is all the material you sent us. That is all the material you sent us." In conclusion, we struggle with giving, and we wonder why God did not provide. We are not willing participants when asked to give. We sow sparingly and reap sparingly, and in return we grudge God for not supplying generously. But God sent a greater man, Jesus Christ, because by nature God is a giver. He's motivated by his love for you. The woman of Zarephath's son did not die because of a faith-filled generosity, but God's sons died despite the generosity of God. God's son, God did not provide a sacrifice for Christ like he provided a goat for Isaac, for Abraham's son. Christ was that sacrifice. I want to tell you something about God. God is a wonderful God. God is a very loving God. If you know God and you study the Bible properly, you realize how much God loves you. Christ was not given to be admired by others. He was given to be sacrificed. God gave Christ to the cross so that you can have eternal life. The gift of God costs everything, but He offered it willingly and freely. Cost Him everything. Today, this gift must be received. You must believe and receive it. God gave His Son so that you can become a son and a daughter of God. You can receive Him today. You can give because Christ has given, and you can experience the miracles, the wonders of God. Amen.